This is Pulse 95. You're listening to the Morning Magilis podcast.
It's the Morning Magilis, and yes, we're going to be discussing all things markets, all things commodities, all things Bitcoin as well. And we do know that the Federal Reserve meeting is scheduled for today, so it has been the central bank's week at the moment. So we'll be very kindly joined by a senior markets analyst, a friend of the show as well, has been here on the program before. Now, this time wearing the hat of Equity Group, Farah Murad. A very good morning, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on air with us. Now, the Federal Reserve's meeting is scheduled for today. We have the central banks week. A lot of talk around the interest rates. Are they going to be moving? Inflation data hasn't been according to what many people were expecting. How are you looking at it?
I think the Fed was really clear. It's just that the markets didn't want to believe the Fed for so long. We've been hearing about 3 interest rate cuts. That's the average, if you want to check what the Fed has to say. But then when we look at the market pricing, it's been always more than that. They always were preparing for the scenario where the Fed would help the markets and would continue to help the markets with the lower rates. And we had really bad data. If you want to look, and like 2 weeks before the meeting, we really had like a series of bad data that made the markets as well more pricing a more dovish stance from the Federal Bank. It's the first time that we see this balance between the expectation of the markets and the Federal Bank, which is 3 rate cuts. I think that's the main scenario for the time being. I don't think it would be consecutive. I don't think it would be this, it would shock the market that much. Now, if I want to analyze the inflation data, I would say yes, the pressure is still there. The Federal Bank always repeated that we're really afraid for a new wave of inflation pressure that would come into the market. This is why we will continue with the high interest rate. I think for those who really want to check between the lines, as we say, maybe we need to check as well the PCE, how much maybe the consumer is spending more than the PCI. Why? Because the PCI would show us how much inflation we have in prices. And sometimes that's something that the Federal Bank cannot control. Let's say it's because of production side, limitation of the production. So that's something really the Fed cannot do anything about. So we always need to check more about the consumption. That's the main thing I think that the Fed would look at. The other thing would definitely be the job market and the unemployment rate, of course.
And to any listener out there who's thinking, why do we keep talking about the United States interest rates and the Federal Reserve movements and everything? We're, of course, tied to the dollar, so it's highly influential on what rubs off over here in the UAE.
Yes, of course. And not only that, like everyone, because we're talking about the dollar, that is somehow the middleman in the international trade so far. There's maybe groups such as the BRICS that are trying to maybe change this scenario. But at the moment, it is the middleman. And, you know, the spike that we saw in dollar, it really created too many inflation pressure in different markets as well, especially emerging markets. So it's always something to look at. Where interest rates also affect the bond market. So investors will always go to whatever the interests are higher. And that's why we saw maybe a weaker yen, for example, during that year. A weaker euro until the Central Bank of Europe started raising their interest rates. So yes, obviously, when we're talking about one of the most liquid currency, we'll definitely be interested into what the Fed has to say.
Now, shifting our focus towards the world of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin. What is going on with Bitcoin? Now, we've seen Bitcoin, it has experienced some substantial surges as of late and subsequent pullbacks as well at times, of course. Now, what do you attribute this volatility to, and how do you really foresee it impacting investor sentiment towards cryptocurrencies in the near future?
I mean, if I want to link it also to what was happening to the dollar, I believe this interest in the cryptocurrency, it's also emerging right now when we're somehow losing trust in fiat currencies. Whenever it somehow looks like it can be manipulated. Whenever central banks around the globe, they want to raise their interest rate, they can do that. I mean, just between brackets, Guy, the studio is really cold here.
Yeah, 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 I'm so sorry.
No,
I feel
freezing,
like I'm shivering a little bit.
Shivering towards summer.
Yes, but the cryptocurrency is definitely gaining momentum because of that. Mm-hmm. It's been this way even since the start of Bitcoin. But right. What we saw the last couple of weeks, I would say the main story behind it, the main catalyst behind it is the ETFs, the acceptance in the USA for the ETFs of Bitcoin, which if you can notice also how the prices moved just after the news, we saw a little spike, but then prices dropped. And that's why I want to tell, especially those who are trading in the cryptocurrency or investing in the cryptocurrency markets, it is still highly volatile. There's a huge movement of trying to manipulate the markets, trying to buy what we call the rumors, sell the news. So when the news come, just as we expected, usually the markets might have a correction. But then after that, we saw inflows and continuous inflows. And by the way, what we are seeing is more interest from the hedge funds in the cryptocurrency more even than gold, even though both of them supposedly should be hyped because of what's happening in the dollar, you know, what's happening in the fiat currency overall. But we see more interest in crypto, definitely because of the ETFs of Bitcoin that are now available. Volatility will remain. It's still a new market, still needs too many tests, but I believe it might create really good opportunities for this year.
You mentioned gold, and how do you assess basically the current trends as well in gold, and what factors are really influencing its prices?
I mean, gold is spiking. Mm. It's remaining above 2,100 per ounce. That's
relatively
really
high.
Yes, that's the highest highs that we ever saw on gold. And that's the main thing that we would see whenever we're afraid of the bond market. I mean, now as an investor, if I want to see what I have left from the market, mm-hmm. I have the stock market, which is kind of highly reaching higher highs. The valuation is super high. So I might not really get a good profit out of it. The bond market might have some pressure as well, continuing forward with lower interest rate. So where would I put my money? And then it would go to these, I would say, safe havens against not only inflation, and yes, also a possible higher return, because other markets might not give me this high return as well. So this is why we saw a spike in cryptocurrencies and gold. Even though one of the data that really was worrying for me is that ETFs were not buying gold. The spike, and still the ETFs were not buying.
Wow. Now, in terms of attractive investments, what are you seeing and foreseeing in 2024 as well? What are going to be the best places for people to park their funds and get some returns?
You know, that's the main question that made cryptocurrencies and gold spike the last couple of weeks, because in the stock market, which was really the interest of investors during last year and the beginning of this year, somehow it's not cheap, if we want to say it like in easy words. It's highly, the valuation is on like really high levels. Mm-hmm. So would I tell you not to invest in stock market right now? I wouldn't say that, but now it's time to be even more pickier, smarter in picking the stocks. Before that, we had this bubble of AI. Too many companies adopted the AI, and they're even earning a report, which even spiked. Everybody knew about the Magnificent Seven. Anyone can trade Meta and Nvidia and Microsoft. So this bubble might have been, or maybe it's too late to join it right now. Mm. But I can see, and even if I want to speak about an index overall, if I want to speak about the Nasdaq, it is overvalued compared to Dow Jones, the industrial index, which I think growth stock might not have this higher value or higher profit or returns moving forward, but maybe other sectors are now worth looking at. Transportation, healthcare, defense, you know, these strong, rigid stocks and industries, I believe that now maybe it's their time to shine.
Okay, and you said the word safe haven before when we were talking about cryptocurrencies and gold as well. Mm. And I think when you say that word, everyone kind of perks up a bit, especially when we're talking about investments. But that's the uncertainty that people have with cryptocurrencies. Is it considered a safe haven when it comes to my investment?
honestly, to digest this word or to explain what it is whatever the investors would go to in the moment of unclarity in the markets. You know, there is a panic in the market. And I think crypto is still too young to decide that it's a safe haven. But also, if we want to see how it reacted historically, at some moment, especially, I can tell you that, and maybe we can focus on that during this year because it might happen again, what we saw in the bank sector and some regional bank going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. These kind of events actually helped crypto, and it emphasized more on the trust of cryptocurrency investors in this market. But other, I would say... at some times, we saw cryptocurrency moving just like the stock market, just like high-risk assets. So I believe it's one of the ways to maybe hedge against different markets because it's somehow independent. Their fundamental, the way it moves, it's somehow independent. Mm-hmm. But to say that it's a safe haven, I think we still need more historic tests to decide that, but it's definitely a way to hedge against inflation. We saw that it somehow succeeded this test and to diversify, especially that now it's more legal.
Mm. And shifting towards the energy sector, what is your outlook on oil prices, on the broader energy sector, particularly now in light of efforts to transition towards the renewable energy sources?
You know, there's always this forecast of the demand that comes from OPEC Plus and from the International Energy Agency. What's weird is they usually have their somehow the same outlook, somehow the same number of how would demand be this upcoming year. Mm. But the last couple of years, especially now, there's 1 million barrel per day difference when we're talking about their outlook. Mm. If I want to dig deep into why this huge difference between them, I would say that obviously the International Energy Agency, they are pricing in more demand on renewable energy, while OPEC Plus is not really pricing that in. So some countries, I would say some agencies, are expecting a higher move toward this sector. China's working also really well in this sector. We might need more time to move towards a total, abandonment of fuel energy, especially if we want to see a group of countries just like OPEC Plus. They're not expecting that during this year. So it is a good time maybe to start investing in case the prices dropped, in case maybe some Chinese companies are really super low valued right now. So it might be a good long-term entry point. As for oil, I think it's a balanced market right now. I think definitely some countries in the OPEC group, they prefer prices to be higher. But then we have now the biggest production coming from U.S., where they really want to keep prices lower. Mm-hmm. And demand also and growth, global growth during this year is expected to be maybe less than what we saw last year. Mm-hmm. So I think the markets are balanced. Maybe a sideway move, maybe having a range of $5 more or less around $80 per barrel is the main scenario for this year.
Yeah, that's what's expected as well, isn't it, towards the end of the year as well. Now, you rightly pointed out the global growth. We do know that we have the supply disruptions going on at the moment. It's been a very tricky phase in the global commerce. What are your expectations in terms of global growth, given the geopolitical risks and even the shipping routes that are going to be adding costs to the supply side?
I mean, geopolitical tensions, or what we call black swans in the market, somehow are turning to be the new normal. Somehow everyone is pricing that whenever they're creating their portfolio. It's just a new normal. But also, if you want to check how the markets reacted last year, every huge event that supposedly should have its pressure on the market, the market just rebounded after a couple of weeks.
Yes, yeah.
So obviously it's just something that the markets are trying to not really look at. The other thing, these interruptions, as you're saying, in the supply chain, it is affecting some countries, but it's also creating opportunities for other countries. And this is maybe the way to go for next year. If I'm an investor, I can see how these interruptions, even if they didn't happen, now it's part of the plan of the countries to decide what to do in case of these scenarios and to plan for a plan B before it even happens. I think global growth might be less than what we saw last year, obviously, in case most of the central banks will had their higher interest rate for longer. But then again, we're seeing more interest bank use moving towards easing. So it might help also. We have higher expectation from China, which is the second largest company. So a company.
Economy,
yeah. Can't be a big company.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
The second largest economy in the world. So definitely a better growth in China would help the global growth as well. But then emerging market, I think there's really nice opportunity in them. For example, Mexico. The USA, there's maybe some disruption for the supply chain to the USA, maybe some issues with rice with China. Then maybe they would prefer a closer neighbor to deal with. And I mean, Mexico already have the good infrastructure with the USA. And it might also benefit from that. India, I think it would benefit also from that. During this less growth, usually the markets will go get what we call more competitive products, cheaper products. That's China's product somehow, but India as well. So whoever has a problem with China, maybe they would go to India. I think they would have a really good chance to grow this year. And keep an eye on that.
Wow, some great advice there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning here on The Morning Mantis.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely being here.
This is Pulse 95. Tune in live every weekday from 7 a.m.